on this episode of Pottages.
I don't trust him, and I certainly don't need his help.
I wanna run. I wanna keep on a running.
That train's not a train. It's a Digimon.
I want to sing.
You what?
How could you promise you always would be there? Why'd you have to go away somewhere?
I feel like this movie isn't about anything. It's not about anyone in particular.
It's about trains, Ash.
It's not even about the train.
Your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Digimon.
Welcome to Pottages, episode 314, Do the Locomotion.
Tamers movie 2.
Is this how it ends? Messing with motivations and Parisimon potential.
Leaving the station August 28th, 2016.
Cute.
Does it actually leave the station? I guess it leaves the station on August 28th and arrives the other station whenever it gets released. Yeah. Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical train podcast through the Digimon train universe. I'm your conductor, Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by our engineer, Ashley McDonald.
I want to run. I want to keep on running.
Our train ticket keeper, ticket taker?
Ticket taker.
Our ticket taker, Andrew Soffman.
Trains.
Is that like zombie saying brains? But a train family. Trains. Trains. I need trains. And the owner of the cat that takes care of the rats, which is apparently a thing on trains, supposedly, Asher Soffman.
Yeah.
What?
This podcast is already way off the rails. Because you know what? This movie's off the rails. So
are we loco off the rails?
We've been derailed.
I think this movie's actually on the rails.
Really?
Yeah.
No. False.
Anyway, okay. This week we're looking at the second Tamers movie, Runaway Locomon, a.k.a. Digimon Frontier Focus Test.
Rika is mad at everyone for throwing a birthday party in a Digimon movie without Kari.
The Tokyo public transit system goes loco, and Rika is reminded of her absentee father once she meets a soul-sucking parasite.
In the end, everyone joins up for some good old-fashioned parasite eyeball hunting.
Okay, so our general impressions of this movie. I'll start off, and then everyone can jump in with their thoughts. I thought it was a fun mix of fan service moments, early season nostalgia, like nostalgia for stuff from the beginning of the season, like card slashes and hypnosis and stuff, and a attempt, not necessarily a successful attempt, but an attempt to expand on Rika, which I appreciated. And in general, I thought there was lots of stuff flying by. It was going at a really fast pace, and despite that, it felt surprisingly competent for that. So, what does everyone else think?
I thought it was better than the first movie, and still a hot mess.
Yes. I was like, this is entertaining. You didn't try to introduce new characters that I don't care about. You stuck with all the regular characters, and that's nice. This still doesn't make any sense, but fine.
Yeah.
You made Rika sing, which is super strange.
It was strange, but she pulled it off very well.
Ooh, young Rika singing, I was like, uh-uh. And then Rika started singing, and I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, older Rika. Yes, I was not talking about baby Rika.
Baby Rika, don't sing. Just stop.
It's the same person. Pretty sure it's the same actress.
Probably.
Yeah, so they told her to just sing bad the first time, then sing okay the second time.
But yeah, also I felt like the first movie, this was also somehow a condensed Digimon Tamers again.
What, you mean compressed the whole season?
Yeah, it's like basically a compressed Digimon Tamers.
In what way is it a compression of the whole series?
Digimon invade, a girl has issues, gets possessed by monster, final battle, everything is good.
All right, but you could say that about a lot of stories.
Yeah.
True, but it's the same thing again, except better, and trains.
Okay, yeah, I think it's a bit of a stretch to say it's tamer is compressed. I think it definitely has that same pattern of girl in distress needs to be saved.
Has father issues for some apparent reason.
Father issues weren't really present in the first movie.
Her dad's the one that made the thing.
I guess she was mad at him-ish from trying to replace the dog, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't about him. Yeah. It was about the dog.
and dogs are really like your fathers, right?
What?
I was trying to make a stretch of a point. That wasn't a real point. I think it definitely is a frustrating trend with making the girl characters need to be saved in it. I also just found it frustrating, this movie, how much... I appreciate they tried to shed more light on Rika. And looking back on it before we rewatched it, I kind of remembered it as being, quote-unquote, Rika's movie.
Nope, it's Takato's.
No.
I still don't know. Like, I still feel like they tried to make it Rika's movie, but didn't, you know, like, because of the... They didn't want to mess with the mechanics of, like, introducing a new Digivolution or something for her. So it's still, like, Takato's still the victorious one in the end and, like, still centers on him to lead the plot initially and stuff.
I don't know. I definitely think it's Rika's movie. Or it definitely wants to be. Your lasting impression of it is that it's Rika's movie. But, like, you come back to it and you're just like, Rika, you didn't get to do the thing. The cool thing. And I'm just so sick of girls getting possessed and saving and just shut up, tamers. Shut up.
Yep.
It's my feelings.
Here, here. Here, here.
You had two girls and you introduced a third girl and then she sucked even more. Anyway.
talking about the first movie? What do you...
The Tamers. Are we talking about Alice or Minami?
No, I was talking about Minami.
See, like, the technical third girl isn't even memorable.
I mean, technically, I guess there are a total of five girls then, if we count Susie.
Oh, I totally forgot about
She's
Susie.
She's also terrible.
Wait, who are the five girls?
How is this confusing you, Andrew? Jerry, Rika...
Susie, Minami, Alice.
Alice, yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Well, it's tough because none of them are actually featured in, like, the core team. You know, like, Rika's the only one that's, like, in all the imagery that comes to mind when you think of Tamers.
Yeah.
That's why the only two girls that actually matter are Jerry and Rika.
Yeah.
And they are shown together sometimes.
I mean, even Jerry isn't in any of the, like, promotional artwork for the season and stuff. Yeah. So, I think this movie, like... Its strength is really not in character development. So, like, that stuff that it tries to do with character development is like, okay, whatever. And, yeah, but where its strength is just, like, rapidly flying by with lots of cute moments that a lot of them felt like they were, like, kind of like our Stray Bits section. Like, moments they wanted to have with characters doing funny things and, like, things that animators may have thought of during the course of the season and been like, oh, well, that would have been a good moment to do. Okay, let's, like, my speculation is just that they... kind of made a movie from all those moments pulled together, but who knows? Maybe they were just like, well, this is our last chance to get those things in, so let's write them in. I don't know.
Give me an example.
So there's stuff like... So this is my favorite moment, but it's the Henry taking Lot Mamba accident, and then be like, Kappa took the wrong one. And then...
Really? That was your favorite moment?
I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
And... It was such a stupid reason for Henry not to be fighting. I was like, there are so many... either stupid reasons or unstated reasons, like, or non-reasons for things not to be happening in this movie. I was just, like, so annoyed. Could have been even shorter than 30 minutes. Why didn't any of them biomerge in the first place?
Because they didn't realize it was a Digimon. That's just
never... Yeah, that's just never...
Well, not all the way back in the first place, but Locomon was an ultimate. And, like, if they biomerged, they would have been Megas, and why don't they ever just do that?
Well, because they never do that.
Why don't they ever overpower the enemy? Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's his question. Other moments like that, there's, like... It's when Terrymon and Lotmon are going down the escalator, and, like, Terrymon, like... Or one of them, I can't remember which order, but one of them bumps into the other one, and then, like, I think Lotmon just has their, like, ear on the escalator thing, and, like, keeps going up, and, like, it would do what would happen if you had something sitting on the escalator. Anyway, little cute things like that. There's the moment at the party where Gilmon goes to take a piece of bread, and Impmon snatches out from him, and Gilmon just bites his hand.
Good.
Wait, good? Like, you want Gilmon to suffer?
Oh, wait. I thought Gilmon bit Impmon.
No,
he bit his hand.
Gilmon had something in his hand. Impmon took it, and then Gilmon bit his own hand. Oh,
yeah.
You thought
that's
like,
sadness. I thought he bit Impmon's hand and the bread with it.
Nope.
I wasn't paying very much attention to the party.
Well, it was kind of hard to see with the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot that passes by quickly in this movie. That you like there were things in the beginning where I was like, how does everyone know there's a train? How does everyone know what the situation, like, characters will meet and be like, oh yeah, I know about the train thing. I'm like, how did you know? And I feel like they actually were explained. I just missed it, you know?
I'm not sure they were.
I don't think Kazu and Kenta, like, the train goes by really quickly by Rika, and then she's just like, I'm just going to chase it. And I'm like, why? What are you doing?
And, like,
it's obviously
Henry knowing anything was sort of confusing, because, like, I get that he had to walk back because there was train trouble on his end, but, like, why did he know there was, like, the kind of problem that would require Digimon?
I guess my point is that there were a bunch of, like, quick flashes introducing, like, showing the characters. I think they're showing them becoming aware of what's going on, but it's, like, really quick. And I just have the impression that going back and poring over this movie, things would become more clear. That might not actually be true, or those kind of questions would become solidified or clarified.
Maybe.
Whereas, just comparing the impression I get from watching other Digimon movies where it's like, you know, there's no amount of pouring over again that's going to make any more sense of it. It's just sloppy. Whereas this, like, felt like it was sloppy because it was fast-paced, which I think is also a testament to, like, I think that is a really fitting pace for a movie about a runaway train to itself be runaway and to be just, like, packed with all this stuff, and it's like the messiness comes from just being too fast and too scattered, and I don't know. That's at least fitting, regardless of whether that makes it good or not. At least appreciate how it fits the theme. Okay, let's go to favorite characters. Ashley, who's your favorite character in this movie?
Rika. Always, forever, Rika. I like when she, in the beginning, when she just, like, rolls down the grassy hill or whatever, she just, like, slides down it and is running, and Renamon's like, what are you gonna do when you get to the train? Rika's like, I don't know, I'm just gonna jump on and figure it out. Like, yes.
Actually, what I don't understand about that scene is why wasn't Rika riding Cubimon or something?
Yeah, Cubimon was absent the entire movie, wasn't it? Weren't they? Yeah, that was strange.
You ask many questions that don't...
Especially if she jumped onto the train, which could have, you know, killed her.
I mean, okay, in the Japanese, she actually calls out for Renamon when she jumps. Like, yes, Renamon, please catch me, and we're going to jump on the train together. In the English, she's just like, I just jump on the train. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's dangerous. You're like 10.
Yeah.
That's like literally that's like one of the most dangerous things she's ever done, and that's saying something.
I do feel like they, like, especially with having Beelzemon riding alongside in his motorcycle, that they wanted to fit that in because it was like, oh well, he has a thing that can ride along a train, so let's put that in there. So yeah,
okay,
I'm
but
surprised.
That was all just so funny because he's like, I'm gonna shoot it, and then he gets taken out immediately. It's just like done.
Well, sure, I guess my point is that it's strange to see that and not Cubimon, because Cubimon also seems like a similar category of, like, wouldn't that be a natural fit to have them run alongside? But okay, no, okay, sure, whatever.
Oh, it's way more fun to have Rika jump on the train.
Ash, who's your favorite character?
Rio.
Yeah, I love that guy. When he just comes in like a hero out of nowhere. Yeah, you can tell how much work they put into integrate him into the movie.
He's never mentioned once until that point.
Right.
At least in the dub.
Good old Rio.
I like to believe that the writers just think of him as a running joke. And the fact that he doesn't fit into anything ever. No, I think my favorite character was... I feel like none of them actually had enough screen time to get a real solid grasp of anything. I'm going to have to say Henry, just because it was fun watching him be Henry and everyone pile up on him when he offers his sister a piggyback ride. Like, yeah, everybody gets a piggyback ride. Except
that was a funny moment.
Yeah.
And Andrew?
Riley's younger twin sister who took over for her job for that day.
Did she sound different? It looked different or something?
She sounded completely different.
It's Cody's VA.
Yeah.
Sounded real different.
So it's Riley's younger twin sister who happened to be working that day because Riley decided to take a vacation for once and get away from Yamaki.
I mean, you really shouldn't date your boss, so that's probably good for her.
Yeah. True facts.
Okay, one of the things in the original version that makes way more sense than what happened in the English was when Rika is like, I don't trust Yamaki. I'm like, why? Where does this come from?
Yeah, I figured that would be explained more in the original.
But in the Japanese, she doesn't say that she doesn't trust Yamaki. She says she doesn't trust grown-ups, where I'm like, okay, that makes way more sense and goes with like her dad leaving and stuff. I'm like, all right, that's where that comes from. Yeah.
Oh, wait, actually, this is something I realized I didn't actually look at the, like, dub-sub differences stuff because I didn't realize it existed, but then I just remembered it did. Anyway, so I'm looking at it now, and I didn't realize that when this movie premiered in Japan was not after the series. So
it would have been, like, right at the end, though, right?
It was near. So when I'm looking up the...
Yeah, like, the last few weeks of the TV series.
But it wasn't over yet. So the last episode aired on March 31st, and this one, the movie, aired on March 2nd. So it was between 46 and 47. It was actually right after Justimon appeared, which is
But it's before Crimson Mode, so this is the first time people saw Crimson Mode.
That's true.
That sucks.
The same thing happens in the Savers movie. That was the first time we saw Burst Mode. I think. Yeah, that was the first time.
You guys, I have a confession to make, and it's that I like Crimson Mode better than normal Gallantmon. I know you guys disagreed with that last time.
I thought you said that last time, that you thought.
No.
By the way.
What?
Okay, it's not much of a confession.
Yeah, I thought you said that you liked regular mode better than Crimson Mode.
I said I liked regular mode better than Crimson Mode. But I think Crimson Mode looked better in this one.
And then all of you, I thought, agreed with Asher.
I thought you agreed too, like in the end.
But it was a lie.
You take it back.
I like Crimson Mode.
Peer pressure.
Yeah, don't peer pressure me, guys.
My favorite character is Rika. I mean, I think she's the one that gets any character focus, so it's like there is the most stuff of her to appreciate. But as I said before, this movie's strength is really not character development, so it's not very well done character development. So I look back and I'm like, I hesitated for a while. I was like, I should pick someone else. I should reward someone else for their actual, you know, character moments shown. And I was like, I guess no one really gets a spotlight, so I guess it's Rika. And
I mean, you could have picked Takato.
I don't think he just is like there trying to solve things.
Yeah, it didn't even, none of them really felt completely present in this movie. And I didn't pick Rika because she's like possessed for half the movie.
And that's saying a lot because the movie is only 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
She's possessed, but she gets flashbacks or whatever.
Yeah.
Dream sequence-y thing while she's possessed.
I didn't find those particularly compelling. Like, the flashbacks were okay. I didn't like the whole, I want to say, I feel like it was probably originally just a sort of, we want Rika's voice actress to sing, so we're going to make this random movie about her singing with her dad. Like, I didn't feel it.
The only reason that I'm like, I partially accept this Rika's dad being problem sadness thing now is because Rika had that one line in episode like 46 or something where she's like, my dad is still around. I could see him, but I just don't. And I'm like, all right, like the series at one point like acknowledged
right
a father.
Like, if the series hadn't done that, I don't think that would make this invalid or anything. Like, I think it doesn't.
It just doesn't feel real.
Well, it wasn't quite real. It was in her mind. I was very confused, actually. So they, like, heard her singing? Like, she did sing out loud?
That made no sense.
But that never happened!
Yeah, I was like, but when? That didn't make any sense.
The singing that we as an audience hear is when she's in a dream sequence, and they do not... And then they show her outside the dream sequence, and she just seems to be possessed, not saying anything. Okay, that makes sense. But then later, they talk about her having sung, and I'm like... And I'm like, I think Renamon does it, and I think Takato tells other people about how she did it, and it's just like, this wasn't a, this didn't make sense. We didn't see her in the real world singing. Yeah, it doesn't, no.
And for the record, it is the same in the original,
mm-hmm.
from what I remember.
I do appreciate, though, that, like, we see this glimpse into her, the way she feels about her dad, and it's not tied up in a bow. It's not like, and they invited him to the party, and he's there, and everything's okay. It's like, she's still sad about the end. She's still singing a little bit, and she's still so sad. And at least appreciate that they didn't feel the need to you know, we can only present these issues if they're wrapped up in a bow. They were able to present it without it betraying that.
Sure. Yes. I'll agree.
It doesn't, like, make up for all the other frustrations with it, and it comes out of nowhere. There's, like, very... I can, like, kind of connect some dots and say that she started thinking of her father because of the birthday party, and, like, maybe that's why she really doesn't like surprises. For there must be, like, some, like, maybe... birthday parties
surprises
or something.
Surprises are people leave you.
That seems like more research. I was thinking maybe like her father, she has memories of her father at a birthday party or something, and tied with surprises that could trigger that. But it's just weird that's not spelled out ever, and it's just like, oh yeah, where's on the topic of my father now? Okay, sure. But yeah,
there's a movie.
And now on to our first topic, which is a listener-submitted topic from friend of the show and Patreon, Sam Kriwagamon. And their prompt was this.
This movie is set several months after the events of the series. The Digimon have returned with no explanation given. My questions are, what does everyone think happened after the ending of Tamers? Is there somewhere better in the timeline this movie could have fit? How does this movie impact the ending of Tamers? Does it make it better or worse?
I know this is a topic that comes up a lot, because it can't be a Digimon movie without discussions of canonicity. And
of course.
So, but I feel like watching this, that it felt pretty clear-cut, actually, that it was canonical.
Really?
It was set, yeah, that it's set after the end of the series, and that there is stuff that happened between the series and this that is never explained, but that it's not out of the realm of possibility to draw a connection between the two. whose side was that?
That was me. My problem is that, okay, the end of Tamers implies that they can go to the digital world and they can see the Digimon again. Oh, fine.
Eventually.
Whenever Takato finds the hole.
No, I mean,
I don't know how long after that is.
I mean, I guess there's the question of how much time passes between the, like, what we remember, the tear-jerking scene, and the very last scene where he finds the hole. But I also assume that there was time between, it's not like he finds the hole and then is immediately like, and we're there, we found a way, and I assume there's time required to actually, that just is like the door slightly ajar, but not fully open. Anyway, as you're saying.
Okay. I guess if the implication is that the kids do not go to the digital world after finding that door, they rather just find a way to bring their Digimon into the world and have them live there, then it makes sense to me. But the implication to me was that the kids would go to the digital world, and then I don't understand the drama around who cares if Rika and Takato go to the digital world with Locomon.
Yeah, right?
They can come back.
I was like, if the Digimon are here, clearly there's they can find a way back. They did it before. They never had an exit strategy when they went to the digital world in the first place.
They did it before, but there were like 10 plus episodes of the parents the parents trying to figure out a way to get them back. You know, like, it wasn't a clear cut thing. It was like, it took a lot of effort
but at least it's possible. It's not like they're gonna die if they go.
And I didn't get the impression from those stakes that were presented as they're like worrying about getting sucked into the digital world, they would be stuck there forever or die or whatever. I just got the impression that it was like, it would be really hard to get back.
They can handle it. They saved the world. Whatever.
It would be inconvenient. You'd lose like months of school time. That's really what it's about.
For me, the thing that sort of took me out of wanting to believe this movie was canon is the way that everyone seems in that city seems to have forgotten that their city got eaten by a blob.
Yeah, was everything reconstructed again? Because I just can't believe that. I just don't accept it.
It's like they forgot what Digimon are.
But nothing was destroyed.
What do you mean nothing was destroyed?
Literally what? Nothing was destroyed when the D-Reaper retreated.
What about the pig Deva and like the military blowing stuff up?
So here's what I don't understand. So this isn't just thing I've heard from you guys right now. I think I've heard in other places complaining about the movie is like, what way would you expect that destruction of like the pig Deva to manifest in this movie? Like, would you expect them to be going through streets and be like, oh yes, these are the streets that were destroyed by the pig Dave?
No. I would expect the people to, like, I would expect to see some of that damage still in the town, because Takato is, they're all clearly the same age. They're wearing the same clothes.
Sure, but they're not in the areas of town. They're not, like, in the city streets. They're in, like, train tracks and stuff.
Okay, but also, like, people would still be on edge. There would probably be flyers around. There would be more safety measures. It seemed like the world just reverted completely, and that is just, it felt like this was somebody's fan fiction.
It felt like Rika reverted emotionally.
Yeah, that too.
I just feel like this, like, one of the strongest parallels, not strong, one of the parallels that comes immediately to mind as someone who lives in the U.S. is New York after 9/11. And
it's still, it changed after that.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. I was there this summer.
I was there the, like, November after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I mean, sure, things change, obviously, like, in the way things change anyway. But I feel like it's not like you go to New York now and you're like, this is a, like, everyone's different now. Like, it's, like, still a city. It's still, you know, like, and
no, but it is different now.
I mean, I think it differs in a lot of ways because it's like that was one building, and yeah, and also, that building is not the same
culture,
now.
The culture of America changed after that.
Again, how would you expect that to be manifested in this movie about a runaway train? That's what I don't understand.
Well, why? I guess why did this movie have to be about a runaway train in the first place? Like,
why are people not afraid of the Digimon?
Yeah, like why was there not a military response? Why?
I mean, the military, like, to the train now.
Yeah.
I assume it was just, like, too fast. Because, I mean, Hypnos was doing stuff, but I imagine they
too
were,
fast,
like...
too furious.
No, but why didn't they, you know, like, improve their... I would improve my military whatevers after something like that if I was in charge of military whatevers.
I guess.
I would have worked with Hypnos to, like, integrate all that crap into my military since that was happening anyway. Like, where did all those changes go?
So to Andrew's one point about the
buildings, you don't have a rebuttal to me.
No, I just need to wonder, his point that, like, the buildings weren't actually destroyed by the monster, by the D-Reaper. I found this one screenshot of them, like, when they're in the park and saying goodbye to Digimon, and it shows the Hypnos towers in the background, and yeah, there's, like, no damage to them, and they.
That's weird.
Precure does it all the time. Also, it's cheaper.
I guess.
I mean, it's like what we see of the really destructive buildings are inside the red blob area. So it could be that's like a distorted space that's not actually reflecting reality. That could be it. But yeah, I definitely assume there was destruction, but I also don't see why, like, that destruction not being shown now is such a disparity. You know, like, because they show them at Shinjuku Station. And it's like, it's not like they showed Shinjuku subway station getting destroyed. They showed other buildings
in
Shinjuku being destroyed.
No, but they did, didn't they? Like, Gilmon destroyed part of that subway.
when
in the park in the beginning, when the snake Deva comes, they, like, go through the subway and Gilmon, like, digs a tunnel, but near into a station where you're like, okay, steps were right there, Gilmon. You didn't have to do that.
Okay, that's one bit of destruction. I don't think. Are you seriously saying that should have been depicted in this movie? That tunnel that Gilmon dug?
You are like, you're like, but there wasn't that much destruction. I'm like, but there was, and those things, like, if a whole subway station had to be under construction, that would in some way affect, like, train schedules and things.
I think that was one, you know, minor thing. It wasn't like, okay, that Gilmon digging through the subway or whatever, that was a silly thing that was not put much thought into. And I still think you can reason it with, like, yeah, if this is 5 months later, that could have been fixed in 5 months.
It's not going to be repaired. No.
And also, like,
that's not true.
They can be, like, you know, working, the trains can be running during the day and in construction at night. Like, I just... I mean, that kind of construction happens.
I think we're providing you with a lot of examples of what could have been done, and you're just like, oh, but this is so small, and not really addressing the sheer number of them.
Yeah.
I think something like, you know, showing damage in the Shinjuku subway that was Gilmon's hole that went through, that would have been like, wait, what? That would have been so confusing. Showing the D-Reaper's destruction, like, you know, buildings that were, like, under construction, like, that does seem like, you know, there are buildings in the background. It wouldn't be
they
too hard to show.
They could have had, like,
I'm willing to believe the D-Reaper did nothing. I am saying that even pre that, though,
yeah,
there were things that were destroyed, and that the military things in fighting the D-Reaper would have destroyed things.
Yeah.
Wait, did the military even hit anything?
They attacked the D-Reaper.
They shot them at the D-Reaper. I don't know if that happened.
I mean, people died. People died. Planes crashed, I'm pretty sure.
But, okay. Most, 99% of these same arguments could be applied to Venom Iotis Mon destroying 99% of Odaiba. And no one calls into question.
Isn't that the whole complaint?
No, actually, no one uses that to say our war game is not canon. We say it as frustrations, and we say, like, oh, this is frustrating, it doesn't connect, whatever.
I think
never brought up as a reason that it's not canonical.
Yeah.
I think there are less other reasons to believe that our war game is canon.
Because, like, otherwise it ties, like, in pretty well and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, that's, like, true. I think we have a higher expectation of Tamers, which takes place mostly in the real world. Well, I guess so does Adventure 2. But Adventure just doesn't... isn't as beholden to reality as Tamers tries to be.
You know what it probably is? Like, any of the destruction that happened before the D-Reaper was actually fixed by the D-Reaper.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. The D-Reaper cared. That's what I believe, too.
That was his real purpose. He was like, I'm just trying to help you guys. Don't kill me. Oh, God. I'm gone.
I've been thinking about it, and I'm pretty sure this is common in every single Toei thing ever, because... in the original Sailor Moon series, like, huge things kept happening that destroyed, like, part of the city. And then the next episode after they finish it off, it's like nothing happened.
Well, I also don't consider Sailor Moon particularly beholden to reality.
No, but it's like every Toei series, even the new ones, are like that. But at least with, like, Precure, they gave an excuse for it. But, like, it magically fixes after the battle.
Well, Juban is special. Also, it's gone.
I was gonna say, it actually, it's ironic that Adventure was so like, when they depict, oh, I can't remember what it was, if it's, what's it, is it Diver City or Aqua City? There's two buildings on Odaiba. Actually, went to, like, the two malls we went to, and they're in the Tri-Movies. Anyway, like, one of them is under construction during Adventure, like, in the time frame that Adventure set in. And it's where, like, Matt, like, Ty tells Matt to watch Kari, and they're, like, in this back alley kind of thing that's under construction. And it's, like, it's under construction, because the building's under construction in the real world at that time period. So they care enough to, like, put that detail into it and show that being under construction, but not to, like, show the destruction that they've caused and the construction needed to fix that. Which is interesting.
No, it took 15 years for them to address that.
They still, I don't think, ever, like, they showed destruction in chapter 1, but they never showed repairs in chapter 2.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I meant thematically.
Right.
Is when they're trying to address that. But they're not doing such a great job holding on to all their different themes.
Nope. They are I'm going to finish that thought. I'm not going to say try. Yes. So we had a long tangent about canonicity. I guess one of the prompts initially was, is there somewhere better in the timeline this movie could have fit?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
It is clearly after everything.
Yeah, because they get the ability to bioemerge wrapped up in addressing the D-Reaper, and there's no way this could happen in the middle of the D-Reaper going on.
Right. Although, I wonder if they really needed to bioemerge. Like, Parasimon did not need to be a Mega. If he was just an Ultimate...
Also, Gardramon was fighting it and seemed to be doing okay.
Did Gardramon need to be there? Like, if they cut back the number of characters they tried to include, maybe we could have had more time for some real character exploration. That would have been nice.
But if it wasn't canon, then it would all be wasted.
Canonicity is a funny thing. I don't think it would have been wasted. I don't know.
But yeah, so this movie really could have been set, you know, like, especially because the fights that happened were in a, like, everyone's fighting. It's not like a particularly big one-on-one, really strong boss that needs to be taken down by a really strong protagonist thing. It was like mobs kind of thing that would fit for, like, going only to Ultimate or something that could have fit before they go to Digital Gold, you know, and everything. Like, but clearly the goal... with this is the last season where they do these two movies per season, but clearly the goal in all three of the seasons is to have, like, one movie set in the middle, one movie set at the end. And it confuses me hearing now that this movie didn't actually come out after the series ended, and it came out in the last month of the series airing, because I assumed that what it would be like a, you finish a series, now here's some more to tide you over for the summer. But so talking more about canonicity, I want to bring up, so I think a common argument laid forth why this movie cannot be canonical is that it contradicts specifically how the, so we were talking before about how, what could happen between the end of the series and this season to connect them. Actually, I forgot to mention that there was one thing I noticed. All right. It's that when they're trying to figure out what to do with Locomon, Yamaki, I don't think he has any, I don't think anything prompts him for this, but he brings up the idea of, we can send him back to the digital world. So I was wondering, how does he send them back to the digital world? Is it ever explained? Is there something they find that's like, oh, it left a portal or something? Isn't it just Yamaki saying, I can open a portal to the digital world and send him there?
I thought they were using the weird digital fieldy thing that Locomon was creating by spinning around really fast.
Oh, okay. And that undermines my point. I was
going
to say
they were like, he, Locomon is just like making it, but we can send him into it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, and looking back on that, it doesn't really make sense that it's like, so Locomon's plan is to like, you know, go in a circle which causes the portal to open, which then can bring more Digimon in. But how did Locomon get there in the first place if you need to open the portal in this way?
I don't know. That's one of my questions. I'm like, where? How did Locomon get here? Which goes back to the whole, like, how did the other Digimon get there? Like, I mean, the end of Chambers leaves it open that, like, okay, yeah, there's a way for them to go back and forth. So you're like, I don't know, I guess.
Yeah, so the way I view that scene at the end of Chambers is that it is, you know, the seed that there will be some future development, and it's meant to be left unclear what that is and what that mechanism is, if it's just only going one way or the other or whatever and everything. And that, so I don't think there's a direct contradiction. But what I want to say is that a common argument for this movie not at all being canonical is that it contradicts a drama CD. And I'm going to link to the Digimon Wiki page has a, it's not a translation, it's a summary of the events that happen in the drama CD.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll link to that in our show notes and also in our Skype.
I have never actually heard anyone try to claim a drama CD was canon to anything.
Right.
Yeah.
That is the thing that I'm like, so I think the thing that it contradicts is that like in this, when is it set? I think that's a problem. I think it is set at a point, yeah, it's set after a year, and this movie is set within a year. So less than a year after the end of the series. And in this drama CD is set after a year has passed, they reminisce and they don't have Digimon. So,
but like, who would consider a drama CD more canonical than a movie? I just don't know, like,
yeah,
in a hierarchy of things that you're like gonna look at to be canonical, why?
I think the problem might be, and I haven't read this, but I'm just looking at the dates now. I think the problem might be the drama CD came out after the movie. The movie came out March 2002, and this drama CD came out in April 2003. So it does feel kind of like a revision. And it also doesn't seem like the kind of drama CD that was like, like there were 02 drama CDs, I think, that were like totally jokey, and like there are ones there that like totally contradict the canonical nature of 02, the canonical storyline of 02, with things like, I forget what they are, but they're really goofy and weird. And I don't think this is any of that goofy stuff. It's just like, you know, sad reminiscing and stuff.
Wow, this sounds terrible.
The audio drama has Henry suggesting the Tamers try to send audio messages to their partner in a packet. That's kind of sweet.
How would they listen to it?
I assume it's, I don't know, like, maybe there would be, maybe that, I haven't read the summary, so.
So this is basically just fan service.
All drama CDs are fan service.
No, this is, like, really fan service-y.
I don't see why that's relevant.
And isn't, I feel like the line between fan service and things that fans just happen to like a lot is always a weird line. What's I'm looking for? A thin line between those two. You know, it's like, if a show starts getting better because it starts featuring things that fans happen to like, some people are going to claim that's just fan service. It's just pandering to its audience. And it's like, or its audience just likes the stuff that they choose to do.
Yeah, like, I don't see what's wrong with fan service applied like that.
Yeah, but okay, so the last point they asked about was, how does this impact the ending of Tamers? Does it make it better or worse? And even though the ending of Tamers leaves it open-ended, I do think all that sadness...
The ending of Tamers is crap.
I do think all that sadness is frustratingly undercut by any scenario where it shows them, oh, just happily together, you know, and...
What, you want them to be sad?
I don't know if I want them to be sad.
I want them to be sad.
Well, I know you do.
it's definitely frustrating to see them be sad, and then to just, like, next time you're showing them, there's, like, that's just gone, like, that's just been forgotten about. Even if it makes sense, but, like, to not see that reunion as well, and to just be, like, it kind of feels like your emotions are just being toyed with. Like, it's just sad to be sad, and it doesn't, you know, like, they don't actually need to follow those rules. They just, even though I lean inside of this being canonical and everything, I still understand the frustration with it, and yeah, that it feels like it's not playing by its rules and everything. So I guess in some sense, it would be easier to accept it if I didn't consider it canonical, you know, because it would just be like, this is a fun alternate reality thing that could have happened.
I don't know. I do think, I do count the movie as canonical, I think, but it still doesn't feel like they were, like, it feels like they weren't taking into account anything they'd already written. Like, any developments that had happened to the world or to the characters.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think they took things into consideration. I just don't know if they... I think they just breezed past... Like, I think the reason they had to have the Digimon back together in the beginning without any explanation, without any of that stuff, is just because, like, I think it would actually be too hard to... I think it just, like, shelved that problem. They're like, oh, we'll just not deal with it this time. Like, we'll just go past that quickly and no one will notice, no one will care. And no, people care, so... And it's just, like, a hard thing to tackle, you know, like, I was thinking, like, is there just some way they could have, in, like, a throwaway line explained that, like, oh, Guillemon, you've only been back for a month. And I feel like it'd be hard to do that without it feeling really forced and awkward and clumsy. So, and I feel like if they do address it, they would need to actually iron down and they would need to actually choose a way that it happened. And the way they've set it up now is, like, they didn't need to settle on one way in which the Digimon come back, because it's up to your imagination.
Yeah. Don't leave things up to my imagination. Nothing good can come of that.
I only watch things to have my imagination narrowed, not to expand it. How dare you?
How dare you assume otherwise? The only fan fiction I ever wrote was, like, AU stuff, okay? No, none of this continuation, maybe, some alternate reality bullshit.
Wait, really? You only wrote AU?
I believe so, yes.
Huh. Wait, your Hunger Games one was AU?
Okay, I guess that wasn't AU. That was technically in the middle.
Ah, I see. You're lying
to me
now.
All my Escaflowne stuff was AU.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Escaflowne wrote AUs of itself, basically.
Yeah, it did.
So the other aspect of canonicity in this movie that I've seen in the fan base a lot is the argument that Kanaka didn't write this, and he wrote the series. Therefore, this is not canon.
Oh, that's a silly reason.
I think we should at least expand on why it's silly. And I think the short answer is just, like, the series is not the creative work of one person. You know, like,
yeah,
the Digimon is anime is a thing made of lots of people, and it's not like one person, it's like a single author. And yeah, inevitably there are different creative visions and things, and just because he was the thing tying together the series doesn't mean this compend by someone else is totally different. And the discussion of Kanaka's thoughts in the movie, I think, comes up a lot because he, in his notes for Rika, which we'll get to later, he spells out how, like, he didn't plan this development with Rika's father or anything. So they're like, oh, well, it wasn't in his vision, so, like, therefore, Rika's father and her being sad about it, whatever, like, that's not real. And, yeah.
But it's such a plausible thing.
It is.
I mean, everyone's free to do what they want to do and to believe what they want to believe and ignore stuff that they want to ignore. But, like, I think if you actually only thought of things like this as single creator visions, that would be much more narrowing and limiting than you think.
It's also just not true.
Well, yeah. But if you were to be like, okay, you know, like, this show changed showrunners in season 2, therefore I'm only going to watch the first season and a half. Like, I think, but there are things like that that would, like, you wouldn't realize they changed showrunners or whatever. And so even though it's a flawed theory, even if you were to apply it as a practice, I don't think it would be practical. Because,
yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes things change creative vision for the better.
No, change is always bad. It's bad. Change.
Like, I mean, our war game feels like it has a very different creative vision than Adventure.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. No kidding.
And that had a different writer than the main scriptwriter of Adventure. I guess it's just
it did.
Maybe the reason, maybe I'm kind of strawmanning here, because I don't think It's that this had a different writer. It's that Kanaka wasn't consulted at all for this movie, which does feel weird for him to have written the series. And while his series is still airing, have a movie that's like he's not consulted on at all. That seems
weird
to me.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, I don't really understand how the mechanics of that.
It's a little weird, but I don't think that makes it not canon.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it would be a stronger movie if it had taken things from the series into better consideration. Sure, but fine.
I mean, what is the importance of something being canon anyway? We've had this discussion before.
Yeah, I guess we have. I guess I just feel like there's never a conclusive conclusion. I should have found a synonym for that. There's never
a good conclusion.
I never feel like I've had a good conclusion to that discussion of how much canonicity matters. So I've always just come away from it being like, it kind of matters, it kind of doesn't. I don't really know whether it does or doesn't. Sometimes I feel like it matters a lot. Sometimes I feel like it doesn't matter at all.
That's because, like many things, it's subjective.
Well, sure, but like even my subjective take on it varies a lot, fluctuates.
That's pretty normal for a subjective thing anyway.
You're a subjective thing.
I am. It's true.
You're subjunctive, actually.
Sure.
What does it mean outside of grammar? Does it have a meaning outside of grammar?
I don't think it has a meaning outside of grammar.
I also just addressed the last point that Sam Kuragaman had, which was which movie is better and why. And I think we all are pretty much in agreement that this is the worst movie by far, and Battle Adventures is the best movie ever, right?
No. This movie's the best. Wait, what did you say?
I was being sarcastic, actually. Yes, I think we all agree this movie's better.
This movie just had a sense of, like, whether it was canon or not, it had a sense of fun about it. And again, it followed the main characters so that you're like, yes, at least we're having fun with this weird nonsense.
And I feel like it was fast-paced enough that even things that weren't fun were over pretty quickly. Whereas the first movie felt both slow and not relevant and slow and jam-packed with stuff, which is a weird combination. Doesn't seem possible, but it is. I guess I at least proved that theory that you can make something that's slow and packed with too much stuff. I guess I remember watching it. I don't remember thinking it was slow at the time, but looking back compared to this movie, it feels slow because this one's just so fast.
I wanted to talk about motivations and how Tamers, you're really, really trying, but you're doing it all wrong.
Yes.
Why? Dear God. So, like, in this movie, we're presented with Rika has sad feelings about her absentee father, who we are told, at least in the dub, that he is alive somewhere. She could see him sometimes. So, like, these feelings make sense to me. I'm like, yes, I would love to explore these feelings with Rika, but just, like, this movie is not the place. The way this movie is executed is not how we should do this. And I mean, it's the same thing with how we complained about Rika and Ryo, where it's like, okay, Rika has a reason to be all angry and, like, hate him and hate all the sexism that she deals with and, like, blah, blah, blah. But it's never brought up. And then, like, Ryo shows up and she's like, oh, yeah, I hate you all the time. And you're like, wait, what? Like, why didn't you say that before? And I'm just like, all these things normally center around Rika. And I'm like, Rika, these are the things that the show, like, the show gives her so much character that it's just like, but I don't know what to do with it. Just like, ah. And then the opposite effect is like, there's a villain here that's completely unrelated to Rika's drama, except that it, like, brings it out of her by possessing her. But I'm just like, why? What's up with Parisimon, or however we're supposed to say it? Like, why are you here? Why do you want to take over, like, the show? It just doesn't care. It's like, why?
Is that so different than Diaboromon wanting to take over everything from any villain in Digimon being like, I want to take over everything?
But see, like, Diaboromon manifests as a computer virus that spreads, and that seems to make a lot more sense than a parasite that takes over a train. Like,
well, he was using the train to bring more of him over,
right? In that sense, it was like a biological virus. It was just spreading. And
but it seems a lot more, that seems a lot more like a thought out premeditated plan that requires more motivation than I am going to take over this and this and this and this.
It's true, true.
So
it's like, like the motivation seems to be like, I just want to spread and grow and whatever. But also I have one of my, you know, bodies has this really elaborate plan that feels super sentient, I guess. I don't know. It feels weird to say the other ones aren't sentient, but they do feel like they're just, you know, virus.
They're a little less put together.
Yeah. And it's just like at the point where you don't make anybody's motivations to do things, when you don't actually explore them in proper ways, I'm just kind of like, how did this become a story about Takato saving Rika?
I don't think it's about Takato saving, or I don't think it's about Takato at all. I think it's just Takato is the convenient plot device mechanism vehicle. You know, it's like...
I feel like this movie isn't about anything. It's not about anyone in particular.
It's about trains, Ash.
It's not even about the train.
You're so distraught.
That's a good pull quote. It's not even about the train.
It was derailed before it started.
Believe me, the Softman brothers would have been much more interested if it was actually about the train. But yeah, motivation.
Do it better. Yeah. I mean, it's just also like, okay, Jerry wants to throw Rika a party, but like, then they don't interact at the party. It's always interacting with Takato. Her mom doesn't try to comfort her at all, even though Rika's like clearly despondent. I'm just like, why?
So that idea of Jerry wanting to throw Rika a party is like super compelling to me. That seems super sweet. And I missed it happening in the movie. You know, like... I feel like it should at least have been...
Wait, did you miss... We had to tell you that?
Right, yeah, yeah. Like in the beginning of the episode, you mentioned that. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I didn't know what happened. But, like, cool. And it's just, like, things should be... You know, like, sure, I wasn't paying the most attention to the movie because I was also writing notes. And, like, that's inevitable and all the time that I watch Digimon or whatever. But, like, I still feel like that is a failing of it to miss things like that. And... You know, you get a little bit more screen time to things that are really sweet like that. But my theory is they just had so many moments like that they just want to shove in that they had no time for anyone and they all suffered for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the other thing is that, like, you know, okay, Rika, I guess because Takato had to be a decoy, like, has the conversation with Takato about how Jerry wanted to throw her a party. And then also when Yamaki calls Rika... Rika gives the phone to Takato, and you're just like, what's happening? Like, why? In the Japanese...
Wasn't she frustrated with Yamaki, and so she's like, oh, you talk to him?
Okay, in English, she definitely has a line where she's just like, it's for you.
Oh, yeah.
But in Japanese, she doesn't say anything. She just picks up the phone, puts it to her ear, and then hands it to Takato. And just like, what?
That's so much better.
At least you can read into that, and like, she's like, ugh, adults.
Ugh, adults. Ugh.
What reason do any of them have to distrust Yamaki at this point?
Yeah, that was super weird. And exactly. It was it's also...
Now Rika distrusts all grown-ups. Yeah.
That also, like, the movie trying to focus on Rika, I feel like, really undermined. You know, showing her dad, whatever, and showing her feeling about her dad, sure, that's sweet and everything, but, like, showing her, like, hate all adults or hating Yamaki because she's thinking about her dad, that just feels like, what they say, character assassination. It's just like, that's not, oh, that's, like, a really condemning thing to portray someone as. You know, that's, like, a really, I don't know. I don't think Rika would be that short-sighted. And
she loves her grandma.
Not anymore. Yeah. She's an adult.
Can't but trust anyone over 13.
Yeah. But she's an old, old adult, so that's fine. I don't really have anything else to say except, like, I really like everything that, in concept, Tamers threw together about Rika and all her drama back with Ice. Like, even with Digimon and Ice Devimon getting possessed and, like, all these things, they're all there. You just, like, didn't synthesize them correctly, Tamers.
Yep.
It's just so upsetting. And leads to sexism, so please don't do that.
So, I was intrigued because Parasimon? Whatever.
I really don't know how to say it.
Whatever it is. Parasitemon.
Yes, that'd exactly. That'd be easier. Let's just call it Parasitemon.
Because it... Is it a he? Do we know? It shares so many similarities with Digimon we've seen before, like Diaboromon, who is very similar, exists in a movie, that sort of thing. And they could have done so much because it seems to prey not... I'm pulling up the Digimon Wiki article on Parasimon. Parasaimon. Oh, that's interesting. Or Seimon?
You're looking at Japanese pronunciation?
I'm looking at the katakana to see how they pronounce it. If it helps at all, it doesn't seem to. It says, it is a special Digimon that can't survive without leeching off of other beings, even though it is a mega. Parasitemon is powerless when by itself, but when it gathers in numbers, it can easily defeat champion Digimon. And remember, it's a mega, so like, okay, big deal. When Parasitemon leeches off of another Digimon, it can draw out the host Digimon's abilities to their utmost limit, exhibiting a terrifying power. Also, it can amplify the host's desires, and it is capable of taking advantage of those weaknesses. The existence of parasite Digimon types other than Parasitemon has been confirmed, and the influence of parasite Digimon, in addition to viralization, is considered the cause of berserk Digimon. And, I mean, typically, parasites don't benefit their hosts in any way. Like, that's the difference between a parasite and a symbiote. But if it's...
Science!
But if it's powering up its hosts, that's... Fascinating! I would have loved this guy as an actual villain in the actual show, so we could have explored that more.
So when you say, like, parasites, are you talking about in nature or in media?
I'm talking about in nature.
Okay, because I was going to say in media, I feel like this, like, thing that causes you to go berserk but actually increases your abilities while you're berserk is, like, super common, but...
It's super common, yeah. But I don't think they typically call it a parasite. There's the show Parasite, which I would also not clarify, well, in general, I guess those aliens were parasites because they preyed on, yeah.
Yeah, but like there were a couple relationships in the show that had symbiotic exactly. relationships.
The eponymous, if we're going to throw around fancy terminology here, the eponymous parasite was not really much of a parasite. He was more of a symbiote.
Is it really eponymous if the word you're referring to is spelled one way and the title is spelled a different way?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't think there's rules about that. So yeah, I would have liked to see like what it could draw out of Rika for real. Because Rika's not a Digimon, but it still managed to feed off of something she's got. And it made me think about...
Despair!
It makes me think about the relationship also between humans and their actual Digimon partners that are not stealing... Oh, but are they stealing their energy and also benefiting you and giving you more power?
I mean, I think the Digimon-human relationship is... The definition of a symbiotic relationship.
I agree, but I also think that Parasitemon's thing is not strictly parasitic either. We just don't like it because yeah. It looks creepy.
It has spider legs.
Spiders are your friends.
No.
Spiders eat bugs,
but they are the scariest bug.
Yeah.
Spiders eat bugs. They are not the scariest bug. There are much scarier bugs in the universe, let me tell you. much rather have spiders.
No, don't want to think about it.
I can talk about bugs all day. I used to have a tape, and it was called I Want to Be an Entomologist, which is a scientist who studies bugs.
Why would you ever want to be that?
I never really wanted to be an entomologist, but it was a fun tape. So I just wanted to play with the idea of, like, what's the difference between the human Digimon partnership and what Parasitemon is trying to do.
Well, it definitely is hijacking, right? Like, even when it's,
there's
like...
There's a definite power problem there.
But, like, even if it's supposedly for what the thing that's being hijacked or parasited or whatever wants, you know, like... Trailmon wanted to Locomon wanted to Loco, and Rika wanted to sing or whatever. I have frustration with that. Like, that's what the desire that it pulls out of her is her desire to sing, which is like a random thought she has in that like random moment or whatever, instead of it being anything that fits with the rest of her characterization.
But right, anyway, right. That was a little weird.
Like what if it had been about her being like, I want to be the Digimon queen. I want to not have Ryo in my way. And then it was about her fighting Ryo because she's like, I need to take down Ryo. That would have been amazing.
Awesome. Maybe it's trying to make a statement that what she really wants deep down is just to sing and be loved and stuff. Yeah. That's boring.
Boo.
But even when it pulls out those desires of the characters, if you can really call Lokomon a character. Anyway, it's still a twisted desire. You know, like, it's not like what they
talk about character
want.
And setting in the same place, right? Lokomon?
Yeah.
But yeah.
And plot device.
Yeah, it did pull out weird things. And I wonder if, you know, because in Tamers, the Digimon partners that are drawn to specific Tamers, and it's not like assigned by anybody. They sort of choose to make that partnership happen, except for Gilmon, in which he was created to make that happen, which you could say is even the stronger draw, literally, since he was drawn.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there. So it makes me wonder about what having certain Digimon might bring out of people. Bring out of their Tamers, I mean. Like, having... What does having Terriermon bring out of Henry? It brings out his cuddly bunny side that he doesn't get to show, because he's always got to be...
His snarky side, I think, actually, it does.
Big brother. The snarky... Oh, I don't think he ever needed that brought out. He kind of always had that going on.
Well, we've only seen him... We've always, like, they were already a thing before we met them, really.
That's true. And I guess we'll never know, because we never really see any of them before their...
Well,
except for Takato for, like, a second. Oh, and no, but we got Jerry and Kazu and Kenta, too.
Yeah, I feel like they don't get enough time to really see stuff pulled out of them.
I think Jerry was starting to.
Yeah, that's true.
Kazu became a much better person after Gardramon happened to him.
Yeah, I guess I never made that connection, but I guess that is, just, like, I always thought it was timing-wise, but I guess it... You could say that, you could argue that that's because of Garjamon's influence.
I mean,
You could also argue it's because of random, you know, switching
around
writers.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Nelson, he was just magically different, but
right,
sure.
Right. You could also argue that it's sloppy writing, and I would agree with you, but I'd like to pretend that maybe there's some meaning. This is my job, you know, pretending that there's meaning in things.
But I think that, yeah, like, one big difference between the Digimon and Parasimon, and they're, like, what they're pulling out, whatever, is that Parasimon pulls out one desire, and they just execute on that one desire, and whereas, like, the Digimon-human relationship, whatever, it pulls out, you know, like, it's not, like, they just coexist, and, like, it pulls out things, there's not just one thing, you know, and makes sense that they manifest in completely different ways. Like, I think ever focusing on just one desire, one goal or anything, is unhealthy, and... That the way this movie portrays that is kind of neat. But it feels like a stretch to go from Rika being like, I must sing. She doesn't try to sing. She's just like trying to hit people with a wrench. You know, like, she says she wants to sing, but there's no real attempt to try to sing.
She actually sings.
Maybe that's why I remember her singing is like she just holds a wrench over them and is like, I'm going to sing now. And we just didn't see it.
Maybe Takato did sing with her and we just didn't see it.
Nothing can top Kazu and Kenta's song in the bath, though.
No, singing nothing will ever...
in the bath.
Nothing will ever top Joe and Ty back in Adventure.
So now we're going to watch some ads that are related to this. So this is the ad in Japan for... I guess it's the trailer for this movie. And I guess it probably was what was shown in theaters to... advertise the like Toei block this was in a part of was part of. So here we go. Ooh, Japanese. One Piece.
Trolling us right now?
No, it's part of. So the first half is one. It's like it's for One Piece and Digimon. And then, so that bit was One Piece.
And then.
So this footage is showing it has nothing to do with it. There was like, it looked like Greymon's foot or something.
Greymon?
No, it's Greymon's foot.
Where's Greymon? This doesn't happen.
What is happening?
Yeah, what is happening? Like, And then it just says the year when it's gonna be like, it's like, what? Oh, yeah, there's more.
That made perfect sense.
Maybe a bit more. There's also some One Piece before we get there. So, wait, is this for Strong World?
Nice Japanese pop turn in
there. I was hoping you could recognize the movie.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, I remember this movie.
Oh, I think it's the chopper one.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is there a movie about chopper?
What?
Why is there a movie about chopper?
Because chopper's great?
Are there ever movies about one character?
The movie is not actually about chopper.
Oh, okay. Okay, now here we go. Digimon. Train. And then,
can we get an Ask Prodigious about how we felt about the movie shipping Rika and Takato or something?
I did not feel that.
I don't remember that, but I guess maybe a while ago we did. Yeah, I didn't feel that either.
But we did get that question.
It was like last feedback episode, and we were like, well, we haven't watched that movie yet, so we're not going to answer it.
Well, by the time this comes out, it'll be a while ago. So that trailer was a thing. It was kind of just rapid little scenes. It was fine. Nothing to make fun of about it, though. So it's a shame there weren't any Fox. I couldn't find any, you know, like UPN. Not UPN. Where did it air? ABC. ABC Family. Wherever Disney aired it. Couldn't find the ads for that. So now there was one ad that I tried to show in 311 that we had technical issues and everyone couldn't hear it. So I'm glad we can share it now. And this is just about Digimon in general.
This summer on Fox Kids, Digimon is turning up the heat!
Well, it's not the heat. It's the humidity.
Yeah, I prefer a dry heat, really.
Digimon all summer.
What?
With all the blazing action, no humidity. Watch Digimon.
What?
What? Blazing action, no humidity.
Mark, what?
What is the perfect answer to that? Yeah, perfect response.
Blazing action, no humidity. Next biggest hit.
I guess that would have aired during the summer, like the last summer that Fox Kids had the right for the show and kept showing reruns. Stray Bits, this is where we talk about things that we forgot to mention before, didn't fall into any other category. My first thing is I am so glad we got the return of Gilmon being all
high in a box.
Yep.
High in a box.
That's good.
In my notes I wrote, when older Rika starts singing, I wrote, I can see why Disney acquired this now. This song is very Disney movie.
Let's do new Digimon. Anyway, first new Digimon, Locomon. Locomon's a thing.
It's a train.
It's a train.
Steam train.
Am I recalling correctly? In Frontier, there are like several different kinds of trains, right? There's like Locomon and Trailmon.
They're all Trailmons.
They're all Trailmon.
Oh, so Locomon's just in this movie? Oh, well, that's weird.
And Cross Wars.
So I just, there's on the Digimon Wiki page for Locomon, there's a like goof fusion from Digimon Fusion / Cross Wars that is Locomon plus Derudulmon. And it's just like Derudulmon's head as wheels on Locomon. It's pretty funny looking. The next one was Grand Locomon was so unnecessary. It was literally just like
Or
like, do they just want to advertise, like have a second toy they could, or like have a transforming toy and show off that it could transform?
Probably.
I don't think they would actually make a train toy like that in Japan. So it was just strange. It was just like, this train is even more train now.
Train is even a more hardcore train now.
Like, it was still going towards the portal or whatever. Like, it wasn't changed. Like, it wasn't, they weren't even fighting the train at that point, were they? Like, it was no purpose.
No.
It was just random steaks being raised. Steaks that no one was trying to eat. And the last one was our BFF Parasimon, which I guess we already talked
so
plenty about.
So weak.
So I think that's kind of cool to have like the, you know, big villain, this kind of thing, be so weak, but, you know, threatening through other means than just being a strong thing on its own. But
yeah, I kind of liked it, but it was still a weird, silly setup.
Yeah.
And I don't like his design that much.
Yeah, no. I think it's cool in practice when it's like invisible and like creeping on people and stuff. But this
when it was all ribbons and stuff, that was cool. But when we actually saw it, I was like, eh.
Yeah. Meh. One moment I thought was really interesting. I thought it was really cool. They included, it was in the Japanese version too, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Cause I watched that part without subtitles and I was like, oh yeah, I understand what I was saying. But it's when Gallimon goes into Crimson Mode and everyone's just like, whoa, it's so pretty. And like for the first time we get, cause we had so many moments of people saying that Gallimon and Sukuyamon were super pretty. And it's like, oh yes, talk about how the boys are pretty too. That's cool. It tipped that gender balance a little, tipped that gender imbalance a little bit back to equality. Did we talk enough about Rika's daddy issues?
She has them.
Yeah.
It makes sense that she has them.
There's nothing to work with.
Yeah.
I was frustrated they came out of nowhere and that I was like, was it prompted by the surprise party or was it not?
If it wasn't prompted by the surprise party, I thought it was at least prompted by her birthday. Like, the fact that it was her birthday.
I guess that makes sense, too. I guess it just feels... I'm okay with things being not fully explained like that, but to have it be such a big focus and for it to come out of almost nowhere, that combination, I think, I find particularly frustrating. I also want to read Kanaka's notes specifically on, like, what he thought about Rika's dad, since I think that's, like we mentioned before, often brought up as, like, a thing that he didn't foresee it this way, so they're ruining his vision. Anyway, so Kanaka said, Rika's fatherless family. So this is from his notes about character development, and it's specific on the Rika page, which I have a link to in our show notes. Rika's fatherless family is not something I set up as a huge plot point. As I researched urban elementary schools, I discovered a trend in the past few years that there were many single-parent or fatherless families. Her rather twisted personality is not in any way based off of her lack of a father figure. It's kind of weird to say her twisted personality. That seems a little mean. Maybe that's something lost in translation or something. Anyway, in the spring of 2002, there was a Digimon Tamers movie titled Runaway Digimon Express, which is Runaway Locomon in English. I was not consulted on this feature film, and so any inconsistencies between this and the TV series in terms of time and setting are inevitable. However, the director of the movie, Tetsuharu Nakamura, was also an assistant director of the TV series during the third story arc, and the screenwriter, Mr. Hiro Masaki, was also a regular writer for the series. They paid a great deal of attention to the psychological aspects of the series when completing the movie. Personally, I am very grateful to them for boldly illustrating the parts of Rika's family life that the TV series never explored. I can't tell how much of that is just, like, I have to be polite in public, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so...
I feel like plenty of it was explored in the series, but not explicitly ever about her father, and then just bringing this weird singing stuff into it is like, no.
Yeah. I appreciate his original vision of, like, you know, having her father not be there, but not be, like, that big of a deal to her, but I also think it makes sense to have his absence be important to her, even if she doesn't need to be defined by a father figure. I don't know. My last thought was just the Frontier music, hearing that in the dub version of this movie is just still super weird. Like, especially weird in this movie because of the Locomon stuff. And it's like, oh, we're dealing with trains and we're hearing Frontier music. And no, okay. Not
but
Frontier.
Like, they actually leave in some of the lyrics about spirit evolution. I'm like, isn't
that
weird?
That was a little weird.
Specific.
That was weird. Did. Yeah. That was there.
Yeah. As and I was like, but spirit evolution is an actual thing in Frontier, right?
Yes, like, it is an actual thing. That is the mechanic by which they become Digimon.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't happen here. I guess they were like, biomerging is close enough.
Like, I feel like I just didn't notice that was still audible in the song.
Yeah.
RGD, ridiculous dialogue draft, where we each go around and pick our funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching line from this movie. It was so short, so we're only doing one. But they're all pretty good, I think. So it'll be good.
And your opinion is the only one that matters, because I'm Asher McDonald. La-di-da.
Exactly. Asher completely disagrees, but I think he was just not actually paying attention to this movie.
That may be true.
Is anyone picking the RDD, the quote with Roger?
No.
Because what the hell was up with that? I don't want to pick as my RDD. I just want to be like, what the? That should have been an unanswered question. Do you remember the line? Where it's
yes,
like,
I do remember the line.
For listeners, it's when Takato says, like, he's talking to Yumaki, and he's like, well, leave it to you, Roger. And he says, we'll leave it to you, Roger. Great news, Yamaki's got a plan. And then Rika's like, so who's Roger? And she's like, what? Like, she's mad at Yamaki, I guess, for being an adult or whatever. But like, and then she's like, well, who's Roger? And like, what is that? Like, and then
that was super
oh
weird.
My God, it was super
and then
weird.
He's like, it's too complicated to explain. And I'm like, no.
I think he says like it's a lingo thing, and then she's like, well, whatever.
Right,
man,
yeah,
mad.
Right.
Like, why would you be mad about who brought, like, oh my God, it's so awkward, so bad.
Mine is from the beginning of the movie, and again, it's more the way it was delivered than anything else, but it's random dudes at the Office of Transportation, I guess, and everything's going wrong. Oh, no, there's a runaway train. And one guy is like, are you the main guy? The manager guy is like,
are you joking? I don't have a sense of humor, sir.
He's just so serious. And I was like, yes, you clearly don't. I love you.
And then it comes up later. In another
it does
joke.
Come up again later. And I was like, I still love you, man. You're my favorite.
If Ashley were choosing the RGD clip, she would have chosen the like entire 10 minutes of the movie between those two jokes just to get both in.
No. Shut up.
So mine is when it's after Henry has picked up. He has Lop Mom by mistake. And then he has to, like, swap them. So he's on the, I guess, the train with Gargumon and people and, like, leaves Lopmon behind and then picks up Terrymon. And I guess he just says to Lopmon,
here's your stop, Lop.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's like, comes out of nowhere.
He wanted to have that,
that
rhyme.
like, inline rhyme. Is there a better phrase for that?
It's, yeah. What's it called? Crap. Isn't it called inside rhyme or something?
Maybe.
Something like that. Interior rhyme.
Oh, yeah. Interior rhyme.
I'll go with the end of the movie with Susie's song.
Oh, God.
Which goes,
I am Princess Pretty Pants, and don't you tell me I can't dance.
And then I didn't actually understand the last thing. I guess that can be included, too.
Oh,
I think the last line, she went back to her pretty pants, and I think I got uncomfortable was, for some like, reason, and I
because
didn't write
I'm
it
Princess
down.
Pretty Pants or something.
And don't you tell me I can dance, because I got pretty pants.
Okay, I'm gonna pick the continuation of what Ash picked, because there was another joke in it.
Okay.
Because Andrew is Ash Part 2.
Technically.
So after the gut engine. After the guy says, I don't have a sense of humor, sir, the other guy is like,
this could jeopardize the whole system. Shut down all the remaining lines. Why now? On the day before my transfer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
I was like, I groaned at the cliche.
I did really like the moment where Henry's, when Susie's complaining that she doesn't want to walk, and Henry's like, I can be your train for a while. And then he's like, Terrymon. And Terrymon's like, all aboard. Then Harry just looks at Lopmon and is like, you too. And then Lopmon's just like, sorry. And just slides back off.
It was really cute. It's true.
It was great. Also, when Rika says, I'm not laughing in the very beginning of the movie, when she's talking to Chikato, I was like, are you TK's grandpa?
Oh, I'm not laughing.
Wait, where is that? I don't think it was TK's grandpa. I think that was, where is it? It's in here somewhere.
I don't know who it was.
You
I
sure?
thought it was his grandpa.
You sure it wasn't his grandpa?
I thought it was, like, Michael's dad? No. Because they couldn't speak.
It's definitely TK's grandpa.
I think it was TK's grandpa. Yeah, that guy.
You're kind of funny.
No, it's not that.
Here it is.
It was just a joke, sir.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah, it was definitely TK's
grandpa. Yeah, that's TK's grandpa.
Yeah, because Ty was the one saying it. Recommendation articulation. This is our segment where we plug things we want to hug that we've been enjoying recently or just in general and want you to enjoy if you enjoy our sensibilities. So my plug this week is for something I've already plugged before, but I'm plugging it again because the episode that I plugged it still hasn't aired yet, and I am just want to plug it even more. And I've been watching more of it. It's Jane the Virgin. I'm in the middle of season 2 now. I think it was in the middle of season 1 when I plugged it before. And it's still amazing. It's still really good. A character that in the beginning of season 1, I was like, this character is stupid and annoying. I don't like any of their scenes, really. And now I'm like, they're the heart of the show. And them just smiling almost makes you cry. And I did actually cry when they did something. And the show is really great. It's like better than we deserve as a society. And go watch it because it's amazing. Ashley, you go next.
Fine. I will plug the anime for Tales of Zestiria.
You don't even look
not
at that much.
It's not an amazing anime, but now I haven't even watched all the episodes that are out, but it has successfully done its marketing job of making you want to play the games.
But you don't want to play that game, you want to play a different game, right?
Well, it's confusing because it merges two games, like it merges a prequel for Tales of Zestiria into it, and I'm like, wait, those characters seem dope, I definitely want to play that game. But I mean, it's also like in this anime season where there's not that many standouts, like it's a pretty fun generic fantasy romp that's not garbage like Sword Art Online and stuff. That's all I have to say about that.
All right. I will plug The Get Down, which is on Netflix. It is right now I would call it a mini series. There's 6 episodes out. They are each about an hour and a half.
No.
Yeah. So the director is Baz Luhrmann, who did Moulin Rouge and The New Great Gatsby, and some other stuff that I, Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio, some other stuff that I don't remember right now. But it's about the beginnings of hip hop in the Bronx. And, it's really, really good. The representation is great. The actors and performers are super, super skilled. And I was really confused during the first episode because I didn't realize it was a Baz Luhrmann production. So I was like, wait, are they actually like dancing randomly now, like in real life? But then I figured it out. So the first 6 episodes are out. The next 6 episodes are coming out sometime next year. And, I don't know how those are going to go, but the first 6 episodes leave you with a really good feeling. So, if you like music, if you liked Hamilton, you'll probably like this.
You can find the full show notes of this episode by going to podigis.com/314. You can leave us feedback in the comment section on the site, or you can let us know your thoughts on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Reddit, email, With the Will, SoundCloud, YouTube, Skywriting, Foreboding Prophecies, or Color-Coded Smoke Signals.
There are also lots of other things you can do for next week's feedback episode. Rate the movie and vote on your favorite RDD clip on the show notes page. Leave a voicemail, 90 seconds or less, answering our question of the week.
Who do you think Parisimon should have possessed, and what would they do?
You can either call 913-CALUMON if you're in the U.S., or send an audio recording to podigis@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can always leave a review for the podcast in iTunes for us to transgarble.
Podigis is made possible with the support from our awesome Patrimon, Amanda Anjouman, David Graumon, Eric Angemon, Jack Santa Agumon, Joe Keto, Justin Blaine Davis, Kailunamon, Kaiser Washi, Sam Kruagumon, and Stevie Padamon.
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. Reaching our next goal will allow us to make podcast episodes about movies related to Digimon, like Summer Wars, so check out patreon.com/podigis to help us out.
Want to make a one-time donation to the podcast instead? Our PayPal is paypal.me/podigis. You can find the link to PayPal and our Patreon on podigis.com.
You can find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce GIF, I don't really care, but you can bribe me with money by becoming a Patrimon so you can vote on how we have to pronounce it. You can find me on Twitter at AsherMcD00. Asher.
You can find me on Tumblr at AsherDashery.
Jeff, where are you?
I'm running low on battery, but I am Jeffling Jeff on Twitter.
Andrew is Phantom Cellist F.
Phantom
on
Cellist
Tumblr.
F. Yes.
Yes. And Andrew, it's awkward to explain, but yeah, Andrew had to leave in between recording this outro segment and the rest of the episode, which is why he mysteriously disappeared for the outro. Anyway.
Our Ignatius Impmon artwork is by Vmon Tamer. She's Vmon Tamer on Twitter. Share the podcast with your friends who gotta keep running, but don't share the podcast with your friends who gotta keep singing.
And join us
next week
for our final Tamers retrospective episode, plus lots of extra tri stuff in the meantime. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving.
全て始まり、それが答えたの。わらびざきが吸い全速力で未来も今も駆け抜けろ。
Okay, so since we're choosing a locomotion-inspired title, we needed to watch the video, the Kylie Minogue 1990s. Actually, it wasn't 90s, it was 88, but to us, I definitely remember this as a little baby listening to this.
You remember this as a little baby.
I don't remember the video, I remember the song somehow. Like, I was probably like 3 or 4, not baby, but anyway. So you can see, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh, it's so
nostalgic. Oh my god, so nostalgic.
Come on, baby.
This has nothing to do with trains.
No, it has about? Absolutely nothing.
I'm not sure this train. Is the version that I know.
Because I'm really? Pretty sure the version we know is one of the earlier ones.
I think you're right.
Possibly the original.
Come on.
Jeff and I do not listen to old things.
I definitely remember like a lady with dark curly hair in an actual conductor or no, engineer outfit.
It might be the Carole King version.
Maybe.
I hope Kylie Minogue goes back and watches this occasionally and is just like, ugh.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't actually a baby.
This looks like a great workout. So come on.
I think this might seriously be one of my first like, memories. Like actual memories.
Kylie Minogue singing the locomotion.
I mean, not her singing, but the song. And...
No, it's way better if it was Kylie Minogue singing the locomotion. Hilarious. Look, there's a train.
Come on, baby, do the locomotion.
She's wearing clothes that she could wear on a train if she were a passenger. She's wearing... No, it's not it.
Why is she, like, wearing a motorcycle outfit to go on a train? I don't understand. This brand new dance from the 1960s and the 1980s? Yes.
It's weird because this isn't like particularly child friendly. This is just a random pop song.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the one I'm used to is Lil Eva.
It was used in a lot of children's programming that they just like redid it.
Was in children's things?
Yeah.
Come on, do the locomotion with me.
Well, Lil Eva wasn't in Doctor Who, so.
Come on.
Pretty sure they don't exist.
Who cares?
Really, what we should do to be to accurately reflect the dub release schedule is wait 3 years before release this episode.
Little baby sister can do easier than learning ABCs. So come on. There's too much lag for us both to sing, Andrew.
Too bad. What's the best train franchise?
How does this movie rate as a Thomas the Tank Engine movie? I've seen better Thomas Nangan movies.
It could pass as one.
I don't
nothing
know.
Out of the ordinary.
There's humans in it. That's kind of weird.
No, it's not.
It's a little weird.
Stingmon!
Okay. Stingmon is not in this movie.
Gosh, they animate the humans now.
Weird.
Actually, they've been doing that for like 7 years now.
Weird.
I thought you meant Digimon. I was like, yeah?
Because everything is CGI and cheaper.
Bullseye, baby!
Takato agrees.
Is this how it ends? Messing with motivations and Parisimon potential. Parisimon? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Parasite.
Is that how they pronounce it?
Parasimon?
Isn't it Parasimon? Yeah.
I don't know. Fine. I
mean, it's weird because it sounds too much like Paris, the Pokemon. Once you like cut off the T.
You do realize Paris is a parasite, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
No, I think we meant the city.
Oh, no. I meant the Pokemon.
Oh, I heard the city.
I heard the Pokemon.
The same thing, really. No, sorry. Just, Angie, what's the first car in a train called?
The first car?
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's called the first car.
I'm your conductor, Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by...
Engineer.
I'm joined by train car Ashley McDonald.
What? No.
Where's the train?
We are the train. The podcast is the train. I'm the conductor.
No, where's the engine? I mean the engine.
The engine is just part of the train.
Make Ashley the engineer. Andrew can be the ticket taker. And I'll be...
Ashley can be the caboose.
I don't want to be the caboose. Thank you.
That's the only other train part I know.
We're not train parts. We're people. I can be the person that owns the cat that takes care of the rats on the train.
Okay.
In the end, everyone joins up for some good old-fashioned parasite eyeball hunting.
That's gross.
It was gross, though. The animation was all like, I'm going to show you the guts of the... Did you have, like, Mickey, why are you doing this?
I have Western accent for some reason.
Wasn't that Locomon with the accent? Not
No, Parasimon no, also had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those voices were weird.
Yeah.
They're always weird. And Locomon, I thought, just sounded like Elvis.
Yes.
But... Was Locomon Metal Edamon's voice? Cause
probably.
Like, yeah.
Probably.
That's just Edamon. Who is Elvis? So this is weird. This is getting weird.
So apparently this voice actor was Puppetmon in Adventure.
Oh. Ooh.
So no.
Just it's Puppetmon.
In Adventure, just Puppetmon. There were also Azulongmon and characters. And Tike's grandfather.
Those are very, very different voices, actually. That's a talented actor.
And a character I don't remember.
All right, A++.
Wait, who's this character I don't remember from the first movie? Oh, it was the grandfather from the first movie, too. The Kai's grandfather.
Oh, the first Tamers movie.
Yeah, yeah.
What grandfather in the first movie?
I like how, so there's a Digimon Wiki page for, it's just like, I guess, miscellaneous Tamers characters. And it has this really, really brief entry on Kai's grandfather. It just says, like, you know, Japanese voice actor, English voice actor, and is Takato and Kai's grandfather. Wait, oh, they have a shared? Oh, wait, is this a shared grandfather?
Because they're cousins.
But that makes sense, but I never thought of it as being Takato's grandfather, too. Anyway. So it's like, the information says he's their grandfather, lives in Okinawa, he believes Gilmon is a dog. Like, that's his whole profile.
Yes, I mean, accurate.
That's all you need to know about him, really.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. On the other hand, like, Henry's mom gets, like, one more sentence. Actually, no, it's the same number of sentences.
I think the grandfather has just about as much screen time as she does in the entirety of Tamers.
Yeah. Because I assumed that what it would be like a, you finish a series, now here's some more to tide you over for the summer. But
that would mean it would be airing during Frontier.
Right, that's the thing I forgot about, that in Japan, these aired, you know, once Tamers ended, Frontier started the next week. So there was no, there's no gap like there was for the US.
Always keep them trains running, yo.
Yeah, I mean, so.
I'm actually really excited for Frontier.
I'm too. I spent one night, like, organizing how the episodes would break down. And since then, I've just been like, oh, it's going to be so much fun.
Well, you should not have expectations, Jeff. I say I'm looking forward to it, but I also don't have expectations.
Jeff, you're still doing it wrong.
feels like a double standard.
It is. But it's because you are constantly disappointed while I am not.
Yeah, that's true, true.
I can't wait for all the villains that I actually care about.
Really?
Is that sarcastic?
They have more personalities than the Deva.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I remember them having lots of personalities. I don't remember if I'm going to like them, but I do remember lots of personality existing.
Yes. Lots of personalities exist.
The only Deva I ever cared about, I think, is Vajramon.
I thought you were going to say Antilamon.
Well, all the villains.
Ah.
Wait, the sexist bull one? Vajramon?
At least he does something.
Yeah, he does crappy things.
Ash, why are you watching that thing instead of watching Jane the Virgin?
Because it looked interesting to me and was relevant to what I like.
You should watch Jane the Virgin.
I'll think about it, I guess.
I don't think I mentioned it
the
either.
The more you tell him to do it, the less he's going to want to do it.
It's true.
Stop now.
I don't think I mentioned in either plug how much, like, a bad name it is and how good it is despite the name.
Jane the Virgin?
Yeah.
You think it's a bad name?
Do you think it's a good name?
I mean, it doesn't seem like Cougar Town levels of bad.
Is it craziest girlfriend levels of bad?
No, it doesn't seem that bad either.
I think it is, because it's not about, you know, being a virgin or not being a virgin. It's about life.
But, like, is she actually a virgin?
Automatically turned off life.
What?
Okay, well, what I don't... Is she still a virgin? Like, are you in season 2 and she's still an actual virgin or no?
Why does that matter?
Because that determines whether it's, like... At least, like, Cougar Town just never felt like it was about cougars anymore.
Oh, no, it never was. It was about cougars, like, 3 episodes, and then never was about that again.
Exactly. So, is she still a virgin or not?
Okay. Like, it matters. Yes. I don't spoil it. I mean, technically, someone on the show pointed this out, and I'm like, is this a real thing? But they were like, if you give birth as a virgin, like, doesn't that break, like, that they are no longer a virgin?
The hymen.
Yeah. So, like, I think technically her baby broke her virginity or took her virginity, but...
I don't think that's... No.
Is that a thing?
I mean, I think you can break your hymen doing a lot of things that are not sex.
That is true.
Mm. And that whenever I clarify is, like, losing virginity anyway. But I also don't think, like, what a baby does to a virgin birth is, like, a really researched area.
Because...
Okay. That's not a thing that...
It's not a common thing, certainly.
I can't imagine why.
I mean, I guess I also probably thought, like, I may have thought that the show, because the show does have Christian, a lot of, like, Christian, I don't know the word, like, not, like, the characters are Christian, but, like, it's not, like, she is artificially inseminated accidentally. It's not like a, oh, and she gets religious, she gets, like, a,
artificially inseminated accidentally.
Because she goes in for a pap smear, and the doctor gives her the wrong thing, and she's asleep while she, so, yeah, so. And then she like.
Don't you really want to watch it now?
No, I really don't.
It's a soap opera / telenovela.
That's really not my.
It. The characters are so endearing and they're also lovable and.
Jeff, I feel like you're using all the wrong words.
Characters and lovable.
I mean, I like lovable characters, but also like that is so not my thing.
Soap opera?
Yeah, I don't watch those.
I mean, I don't think it was my thing either. The closest thing I watched that was Gossip Girl.
I never watched that either. I would never watch that.
I thought I would never watch that too until Ashley forced me to.
I didn't force you to do anything.
Okay, until Ashley forced me to watch it independently and not let her know that I watched two seasons to catch up with her and then surprise her with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I forced you to watch the rest of it.
Also, I mean, like, the main character is trying to be a writer and...
Sounds depressing.
The depictions of her in grad school just seem so. I'm like, I guess there are creative writing programs in grad school, but
yes,
like
there are.
But like they depict it as just she goes to school to get feedback about the book she's writing, and I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
That's actually pretty likely.
Oh really? Anyway,
what was it? I wouldn't pick.
She goes to grad school to get feedback on the book she's writing. That sounds like an MFA program.
That sounds like an actual thing.
Okay.
I mean, things that you write in your MFA program, I think if you're actually good, I guess, get published and stuff.
Mm.
But the things that she writes don't sound like the things that you go to an MFA program to learn how to write.
She's like into writing romance.
Right, and exactly. It's not the type of thing that you don't go to an MFA for that.
I also just feel like they illustrate this, like her new, in the most recent episode I watched, she has like a new advisor who like looks down on romance as a genre, but I don't think they ever like...
because all MFA programs would look down on
that. Right, like I think that's like would be like a common thing, and it's like weird that it's just brought up now, and that like... I was like, I think that should be super common. You deal with like literary people who are like, oh, romance.
That is all that MFA is literary people.
Yeah, like there are no MFAs for like genre fiction. Like they're gonna force you to be like, but why doesn't this have like five layers of metaphor to it? And you're like, because I just want to tell a fucking good story, okay? Like just hop off.
Like, I like metaphors a lot, but also
stories are good.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you should, I think you can tell pretty much from the first episode whether you like the show or not, because it, like, the tone is pretty apparent early on, so it's not like something you have to watch for a while to know if it's good or not. You should at least give it the first episode a shot. Anyway.
Are you like, oh my god, I get to go to school and have a life again?
No! I'm like, god, why can't I have another month of summer? Except it's way summer. Too hot here. Way too hot.
Isn't it still hot?
It's okay, it'll get cold really fast now. I feel like one day in September you'll just be like, no, it's cold.
I usually last till at least October, actually.
Oh, yeah? Do you want to talk about how it snowed in October that one time, Brown?
Was that the time that we went trick-or-treating? I mean, it wasn't snowing when we went trick-or-treating, but I remember it was really cold that year.
Wait, you mean the time I was there for trick-or-treating?
We went trick-or-treating multiple times, so I don't know.
There was one time we went trick-or-treating, and I went as Ash, but I think I went as Ash both times we went trick-or-treating, and...
Yeah, so this isn't helping.
But one time it was really cold.
The time I went as a Game Boy with
I remember that.
On, yeah.
Yeah, I drew it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you drew it, yeah. It was really well drawn,
I think,
yeah.
Weren't we really cold by the end of that night? I don't know.
We might have, been that time.
The time it snowed in October, yeah, was a year I wasn't there because I was in Connecticut and I lost power for like a week.
Oh.
Yeah.
What year
the only
was
thing
it?
That I,
That was senior year where the snow happened.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was like, the only thing I really remember is that I had to play a soccer game, like had to work at a soccer game when it was actually snowing. And I was so oh my God, this is terrible. Why is this happening? It was really cold.
Wait, okay. So do we have any better voicemail question ideas? Or do we really want to go with any of these?
Do you have a song that reminds you of someone? Sing it for us!
Sing us songs! Do you like the locomotion?
Parasite... Oh, God, we can't use that one because we can't pronounce Parasite Mon.
No, we can just say Parasite Mon and y'all are going to know who we mean.
If Parasite Mon parasited you, what would... Your I want to sing, I want to, I got to go fast. I don't remember what Locomon said. That's like I got to keep.
I want to keep running.
Right.
I want to keep running.
Yeah.
It's a funny question proposed. I feel like the answers would not be really funny. They'd just be like, I like this. I like that.
I'm trying to think of a funny question because I just want ridiculous answers. It's not really working.
What'd you think about Takato's Little Tamer?
No!
What if I just said that without clarifying, without any other mention in the episode of what that meant?
No!
Why does Takato get Little Tamer and not Henry? And then
stop!
Just,
no. Nobody wants to see either of theirs!
Who drew, let's not even go down that path.
You're the one going down all the paths, so.
Oh, I've been sitting way too long on my collarbone. Or is that the thing that's at the end of your butt? It's where the tail will be?
Tailbone.
Yes.
Wow. Are you sitting on your collarbone?
Oh, boy.
Are you lying down in the closet with the computer sitting on your collarbone? That doesn't seem
I thought it wasn't
practical.
So obvious. Like, it's like tailbone is so obvious, you know?
No. Literally where our ancestors had tails.
Oh, ancestors, why'd you put tails there? That's so silly.
There are also lots of other things you can do, right?
Yeah, what
you do.
You must do.
There are also lots of other things.
So, given what we learned from episode 311, I think this is how you actually have to read the names. You ready? Come on.
Come on. No. Amanda, I can't. What do you want me to do?
Go.
You have to arrange it first so that it flows right.
Come on. Get ready for the second verse.
Wait, what?
Amanda, Anju. Oh, it didn't get cut out there.
Wow. You have to fail now.
David, grandma,
if you
Eric,
can't
Angemon.
Do it.
Eric and
if you can't do it.
Keto. Justin, Blaine, Davis, Kyle Unama.
Oh, God.
Just don't. Just let it go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think if we arranged their names in such a way, like we prepared which rap we were going to try to do it to,
we
arranged their names in a way that made any sense.
The point of rap is to be freestyle. Like, I mean, not all rap, but freestyling is a thing, too. You can't just be like, oh, it's impossible with freestyle.
I'm not a rapper!
Debatable.
In what way is that debatable? She doesn't choose to identify as a rapper.
I have never, in fact, rapped.
You know, this is... Ash, this is a biological thing, not an identity thing. She was born a rapper.
Oh.
She was born a rapper.
I see.
No.
I think the main thing holding back is that if we had a karaoke version of the song, but like speaking over the voices is also really hard.
Yeah.
So it adds another level. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving. I totally forgot to say that last episode, or 311. No, it's really
what?
You forgot to remember to never stop digivolving?
Yeah, what?
Okay, Jeff. I'm gonna go. Bye. Sorry,
bye.
This was super long.
Digivolve your differences.
Digivolve your differences.
Digivolve them always.